Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Page 124, Infant Habits. The whole group of habitudes, half physical and half moral, on which the propriety and comfort of everyday life depend, are received passively by the child. That is, he does very little to form these habits himself, but his brain receives impressions from what he sees about him, and these impressions take form as his own very strongest and most lasting habits. Some branches of infant education. Cleanliness, order, neatness, regularity, punctuality are all branches of infant education. They should be about the child like the air he breathes, and he will take them in as unconsciously. It is hardly necessary to say a word about the necessity for delicate cleanliness in the nursery. The babies get their share of tubbing, and unlimited washing is done on their behalf. But indeed, scrupulous as mothers of the cultured class are, a great deal rests on the nurses, and it needs much watchfulness to secure that there shall not be a faintest odour about the infant or anything belonging to him, and that the nurseries be kept sweet and thoroughly aired. One great difficulty is that there are still some nurses who belong to a class to which an open window is an abomination, and another is they do not all know the meaning of odours. They cannot see a smell, and therefore it is not easy to persuade them that a smell is matter, microscopic particles which the child takes into him with every breath he draws. A sensitive nose. By the time a very important bit of physical education for the child is to train in him a sensitive nose, nostrils which sniff out the least stuffiness in a room or the faintest odour attaches to clothes or furniture. The sense of smell appears to have been given us not only as an avenue of pleasure, but as a sort of danger signal to warn us of the presence of noxious matters. Yet many people appear to go through the world without a nose at all, and the fact tends to show that a quick sense of smell is a matter of education and habit. The habit is easily formed. Encourage the children to notice whether the room they enter smells quite fresh when they come in out of the open air, to observe the difference between the air of the town and the fresher air beyond. Train them to perceive the faintest trace of pleasant or harmless odours. The baby is ubiquitous. To return to the nursery. It would be a great thing if the nurse could be impressed with the notion that a baby is ubiquitous, and that he is not only sees and knows everything, but will keep for all his life the mark of all he sees. If there is a hole in your coats, I pray ye tent it. Chiels amang ye taken notes, and faith he'll print it. Print it on his own active brain as a type for his future habits. Such a notion on the nurse's part might do something to secure cleanliness that goes beyond that of clean aprons. One or two little bits of tidiness that nurses affect are not to be commended on the score of cleanliness. The making up of the nursery beds early in the morning and the folding up of the children's garments when they take them off at night. It is well to stretch a line across the day nursery at night and hang the little garments out for an airing to get rid of the insensible perspiration with which they have been laden during the day. For the same reason, the beds and bedclothes should be turned down to air for a couple of hours before they are made up. Personal cleanliness is an early habit. The nursery table, if there be one, should be kept as scrupulously nice as that of the dining room. The child who sits down to a crumpled or spotted tablecloth or uses a discoloured metal spoon is degraded by so much. The children, too, should be encouraged to nice cleanliness in their own persons. We have all seen the dainty baby hands stretched out to be washed. It has got a smudge, and the child does not like it. May they be as particular when they are big enough to wash their own hands. Not that they should be always clean and presentable. Children love to mess about and should have big pinafores for the purpose. They are all like that little French prince who scorned his birthday gifts and entreated to be allowed to make dear little mud pies with the boy in the gutter. Let them make their mud pies freely, but that over, they should be impatient to remove every trace of soil and should do it themselves. Young children may be taught to take care of their fingernails and to cleanse the corners of the eyes and ears. As for sitting down to table in unwashed hands and unbrushed hair, that, of course, no decent child is allowed to do. Children should be early provided with their own washing materials and accustomed to find real pleasure in bath and in attending to themselves. There is no reason why a child of 5 or 6 should not make himself thoroughly clean without all that torture of soap in his eyes and general pulling about and poking, which children hate, and no wonder. Besides, the child is not getting the habit of the daily bath until he can take it for himself, and it is important that this habit should be formed before the reckless era of school life begins.